welcome everybody here today. On Friday, I was out and I was having lunch at Burger King, and I was wearing my Open Bible Church t-shirt. And a lady asked me about that. Do you go to Open Bible Church? And we just had a brief conversation, and they're here this morning. I hope that's okay. We had a little history there, but the Open Bible Church are a great advertisement, the t-shirts that we wear, and brought somebody here. They're familiar with Open Bible, got a little background there, and so we're glad you're with us. And any other guests that are here today, we're glad you're here. And really, we hope that you feel the presence of God. That's our main thing. You know, there's a lot of things going on. Hopefully you'll connect with some people and have some good friendships. But we want you to hear from God and feel connected with God. That is the main thing. I'll tell you what, we don't always get it exactly right, but God is always faithful. Amen? All right, we're in Genesis 28, and we're going to talk about heaven's gate today. And let's start at verse 10. If you have your Bible or a Bible app, Genesis 28, starting at verse 10, I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. And if you would, please stand in honor of God's word as I read. You can follow along. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. All right, you may be seated. Heaven's gate. The gate I'm referring to today is the place where heaven intersects earth. It's the place we encounter God's presence. And church, I want Open Bible Church of Boone to be the place where we encounter God's presence. I'm glad you're with me on that. Now listen to what the scripture says about gates. There's a number of scriptures that talk about gates. And with this in mind, I would like to kind of, when you hear the word gate, kind of insert God's presence there, okay? I'm going to read some scriptures that talk about gates, but let's think of them in terms of God's presence. The enemy waits by the gate to destroy us. The enemy waits by God's presence to destroy us. And I'm not saying that God and the enemy are hand in hand, but what I'm saying is this. Oftentimes when we experience a powerful move of God, the enemy will be right there to try to take it away from us. Anybody experience that? It happens. Here's another one. According to Lamentations chapter 5, it's a sad day when the elders don't meet at the gate. Leaders of the church need to meet in God's presence. Psalm 100 says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so we enter into God's presence as we give thanks, as we're thankful. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said we should enter by the narrow gate. in Psalm 118, the gate is called righteousness. So there's something about righteousness that is associated with God's presence. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said that he actually is the gate. He is the way into God's presence. He is our righteousness. He's the one that makes it possible for us to enter through the gate and experience God's presence. How many want to experience God's presence? Amen. In Genesis 28, we see Jacob's revelation of the gate of heaven. He had this dream, and yet it was a picture of the presence of God. He stops for the night. He has a powerful dream. And upon waking, he says, "This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven," because he experienced the presence of God in a very powerful way. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here, but today we're going to focus on how the gate relates to experiencing God's presence. Jacob's dream of the gate reveals two key things just to get us started. There's a picture of God, first of all. Angels, who are ministers of God, Hebrews tells us that, are going up and down the ladder. And I want to say God is involved in earthly matters. Okay? That gate was connected and the ladder was connected from heaven to earth. And so God is not disassociated. Deism kind of teaches that God kind of set everything in motion, then he went away. God of the Bible is involved in earthly matters today. And above the ladder stood the Lord. In other words, God is over and above all others. He is the one true God. And he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father and the God of Isaac." In other words, God is personal. He has been involved in our history and he's in our lives today. That's who God is. That's a picture of God. And then there's a promise from God in this vision. He says, "I will give you this land." And I want to say to you, church, God has a place and a plan for his people. If you're one of his people, he has a plan for you. He has a place for you. He has something for you. And he says, "You will spread out. People will be blessed through you." And I believe that God will help us be productive and powerful in ministry. That's part of his personal presence with us. And he says, "I am with you and I will not leave you." In other words, God's promises, he promises his presence to his people. He says he will be with us. God is personally involved in your life. He has a plan for you to be productive and powerful. He is with you. And we need God's presence today. God's presence is the ultimate blessing. You know, sometimes we get a little sidetracked with blessings of the Lord, you know, and we think about prosperity and health and a variety of things, and yeah, those can be blessings of God, but the ultimate blessing of God is simply to be in his presence. That's the ultimate blessing. Now, if you dig into Jacob's story, you will find that he wanted God's blessing from his father, Isaac. If you know the story, he actually approached this in the wrong way at first. You remember, there was a little competition between him and his brother Esau. Okay? And he wanted the blessing, and yet he kind of went about it the wrong way. He had unholy motives. He used unholy means to try to secure God's blessings. He wanted the blessing so he himself could be great. He used deception and manipulation to get the blessing because he was impatient. And sometimes we think that we can manipulate God into blessing us. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever said or thought these words, "God, if you'll just bless me, I'll never do fill in the blank again"? Anybody? Okay, we have one or two honest people in the house. The rest of you maybe need to say that you'll never lie again. You know what I'm talking about. We do that sometimes. And sometimes we think we could control God's presence. You know, if we just got a little more energetic and hype some things up, then God would come and show up and things would happen. Well, sometimes it works that way, but sometimes God just does what he wants to do. Right? So we can't. Just like Jacob tried to force things to happen, we can't force things to happen. It doesn't work that way. We cannot force God to do anything. He will do what he wants, when he wants. Because he's in charge. Okay? We now, I will say, we can and we should pursue God's presence in our life. Absolutely. I'm not saying don't go after God, just kind of wait, maybe he'll show up. No, I'm saying go after God, but understand that he will do things on his timing and in his way. We need to understand that. He will reveal himself when he wants and in whatever way he chooses. We don't control him. In fact, here in Genesis 28, we find Jacob receiving revelation in the routine. There was nothing extraordinary about the circumstances leading up to this incident in his life. Here he has this powerful encounter with God, and yet it was just a routine moment. He was simply on a journey. He was taking a break for a night's rest. He wasn't having a special service. He wasn't even having an intense time of prayer. There was nothing special about this moment. It was just routine. Now, there's nothing wrong with special services, and there's nothing wrong with intense times of prayer. In fact, I think we should do those things. Okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. However, the key is to remember that God can reveal himself whenever and whenever he chooses. In Jacob's case, it was just in the routine. Just an ordinary day. And then, ha-ha! God. And for us, the thing is to be ready. Are you ready? Will you respond when God moves in your life? In verse 16, Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Interesting words. God was right there, and I didn't even know it. Huh. I think that that happens to us, too. God is right there, we're not even aware of it. It's kind of the flip side of Samson's story. You know, in Samson's story, the Lord had left him. And he was unaware of it. Okay? Here in Jacob's story, God is right there with him, and he's unaware of it. We are often unaware when God is moving right here, right now. And so we need to be ready at all times to encounter God's presence and power. One of the songs we sing from time to time has this refrain in it: let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the power of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. God is with us. He has promised to be with us. Does God ever not keep his promises? Okay. Okay, this side is pretty sure that God always keeps his promises. How about this side? Does God keep his promises? Okay, all right, good. I knew we were on the same page. I just got to get it out of you a little bit. God had promised to be with us. And so he is with us. If he promised it, then it must be true. He is with us. And sometimes we're just not aware of it. He's right there, but we don't know it. Now, in Jacob's story, it simply says he arrived at a certain place. Doesn't really specify exactly where it was, just a certain place. It does tell us he had left Beersheba. He was on his way to Haran. Sometimes the words used have special meaning. Beersheba means well of an oath. Haran means a mountain. And so here's my take on it, okay? He was between a promise and an obstacle. A mountain, there was an obstacle. And that's when he encountered God. Between the promise and an obstacle, he encountered God. Sometimes God speaks into our lives with a promise, but then we run into a roadblock that seems to put a stop to his promise. Right? Okay. I think that's a common experience. You have a powerful encounter with God. You know that he spoke something to your heart, but then it's not happening. And we talked about that just recently. Why the wait? And sometimes we have to wait for the fulfillment, and we feel like stuck in between the promise and this obstacle that's in the way. And I want to say, hang in there, because that might just be the time when God reveals himself in a fresh new way. That's exactly what happened here in Jacob's story. He was in the middle of this kind of road of nowhere, and God meets him in a powerful way. For Open Bible Church here in Boone, we've received promises of revival and promises of growth. How many have heard those occasionally over the years? Okay, so Pastor Phil's not making that up. We've actually had God speak into our congregation that he has a plan for revival and growth. And it's been years ago. And actually, if you look at the numbers, our average attendance is down. And so it seems like, okay, God, you said we would grow, but we're actually lower now. What's up with that? And it seems like an obstacle. God promised growth, but we're not seeing it. It feels like an obstacle. So I could say that OBC here is between a promise and an obstacle. But that would be fitting, wouldn't it? Now, in Jacob's case, this place was nothing special at all. It was just a place to rest. That's all he was doing. He was tired. He had had a long day. He was laying down to rest. And yet he encountered God in a powerful way. In other words, God can do his thing any place at all. Nothing special about the place. And if you look on a map in Iowa, you could say, there's nothing special about Boone. Right? I mean, if God's going to show up, surely it would be in Des Moines. That's the big town. Or Cedar Rapids. Or one of the river towns. But Boone? All they have there is trains. God can work powerfully any place. Any place at all. Jack Hayford, talking about a church he was pastoring, he says, I had simply consented to come here on a temporary assignment, feeling led by God to accept an invitation to assist this declining church. I did not expect we would do anything more than help out for perhaps a year or so. Pastor Jack had no idea he had come to a sovereign place, even though it seemed like just a certain place. This certain place in Jack's case would become the Church on the Way, which is one of the most famous churches in the world, something like 10,000 people involved in his church. And yet, when he first went there, he thought it was just a temporary assignment, no big deal. But God had something else in mind. And then Jacob used an ordinary stone to rest. In verse 11, it says simply here, it was just one of the stones that happened to be there. He's laying down to rest, and he chooses a stone. And you see this more than once in the Bible, and I'm thinking, man, my back would be broken if I lived in Bible time. If I had used for a pillow. But that's just the way it was back then. And he just picked, there were some stones lying around. He grabbed one of them and said, this is going to be my pillow for a night. Again, nothing special at all. However, before our story ends, Jacob took this simple stone and he set it up as a pillar and he poured oil on it. Now, that's important. God can use everyday, ordinary situations to speak to us. Just an ordinary stone. God can use everyday, ordinary situations to speak to us. And God can use everyday, ordinary people like you and me to do his will. Okay? You don't have to be a superstar. Now, I know many of you look at me now and you think he's a superstar. But I haven't always been such a superstar. Of course, I'm kidding around. But God can use anybody. And actually, when I look at my life, I think, yeah, here's an example. God can use anybody. Okay? You guys don't know that when I was in grade school, I was the shy kid in the class. And when we got into high school and we had to give a speech, you could probably see my pants shaking. That was me. Okay? I wasn't a star on the football team or any of that. And I did not want to do what I'm doing now. That was not what I wanted. But God had another plan in mind. And guess what? He empowers his plans. Okay? My pants aren't shaking anymore. God empowers me. God can use ordinary people. And the stone is important. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Let me put it this way. He takes us, ordinary stones, pours the Holy Spirit on us, that's the oil, and he works in us to become pillars in his house. Before the story ends, Jacob takes this ordinary stone, he pours oil on it, and he sets it up as a pillar of remembrance. And God does the exact same thing. Ordinary people, he pours his Holy Spirit on them and makes them a pillar in his house. That's what God does. Revelation 3:12, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. If you feel like an ordinary stone, remember that God is still using you. You don't have to be a superstar. In the context of Revelation 3, we find that he wants us to endure patiently and hold on to what he has given us. And that's what we talked about last week. Hold on to those promises. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Sometimes when things become routine and we haven't felt God in a while, we're tempted to give up and move on. But God calls us to hang in there. He is building his house, and you are part of it. You're part of the house he's building. Elevation Worship sings a song called Your Promises. I want to read just a few of the lyrics. It says, when the weight of the world begins to fall, on the name of Jesus I will call. For I know my God is in control and his purpose is unshakable. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Sometimes, like we talked about last week, we get stuck in the waiting zone and we start to doubt and fall and give up. And God says, hang in there because my promises never fail. And I think this is true as well. Most of us feel like we're really nothing special. I think most people feel like we're really nothing special. Just ordinary people. But God loves to empower and work with ordinary people. Have you read the Bible recently? Okay. Moses lost his temper and killed somebody. David had an affair and killed somebody. Gideon was a chicken. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. And yet God used those people. So if you feel like just an ordinary person, an ordinary stone, guess what? You're in good company and God still has a plan for you. Because he takes ordinary stones and he turns them into pillars. And here's the picture I have. You might feel like you're an ordinary stone, don't have much to contribute, but if you will yield yourself to God, allow him to pour his Holy Spirit on you, he will raise you up to be a pillar, and people around will begin to look at you and say, how could we ever do church without that person? That can happen. And there are some in this room that you are a walking testimony of that. You started out as one person who didn't seem like you had much to contribute. You were just on the sidelines, but God raised you up, and now we look to you, and other people in the church look to you, and you help keep the church going. That's what God does. That's what God does. Now, while Jacob was in a certain place using an ordinary stone, then he has a surprise dream. Okay? Here again, with God's sovereign choice of when, where, and how he reveals himself. Jacob wasn't trying to find God this night. He just wanted to get some rest. And yet, God reveals himself powerfully. Remember verse 16, Jacob says, I was not aware. It wasn't even on his radar that he might have a God encounter. And yet he did. And I believe that's the issue most of the time. It's not that God isn't there. It's that we are unaware. I think that's really the truth most of the time. And I'll tell you, church, I've experienced the presence of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit in public worship times. I've also experienced it in my private, personal, quiet time with God. But there's also been random times and events where I experienced God working. It's happened in simple conversations and in various circumstances. God can do his thing. And I'm sure there have been other times that God was working and I didn't even know it. Actually, that happens from time to time when I preach. I occasionally feel like I bombed in my sermon. There are times that I feel like, oh man, I kind of wanted to go home before I was done. But almost invariably, even when I'm feeling that way, somebody will say, boy, that really spoke to my heart. Okay, I'm up here sweating it, thinking, how soon can I be done? Because I'm dying today. And then somebody will talk to me afterward and say, boy, that really spoke to my heart. Okay, cool. But that's how God works. Sometimes we're unaware of it. Even when sometimes, just like that, we feel like we're nowhere near God's will, and yet he's doing his thing. It's true. We're unaware of it. God has not left you. He's still working in your life, whether you feel like it or not. Let me say that again. God has not left you. He is still working in your life, whether you feel like it or not. That's the truth. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I know many times, especially I think in our modern culture, we're always looking for something. And when we don't see it, we start to lose hope. I do that sometimes. And yet the scripture says we walk by faith. God has made some promises, and so we stand on those promises. Walk by faith. And yet sometimes we miss God's presence simply because we're not paying attention. Remember Foghorn Leghorn? Pay attention, boy. I say, boy, pay attention. Oh, it's so true. Sometimes God is moving right there. He's doing his thing right there, but we're just oblivious. And we need to wear a cape around, and I'm Captain Oblivious. We just aren't aware. I think that we should pray every day something like this. God, work in my life today. Use me for your will. Help me to hear your voice and follow the Spirit's lead. And then be ready at any moment for God to interrupt your agenda. Okay? Because God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. So just be ready. Now back to the story. Finally, after coming to a certain place using an ordinary stone, having a surprise dream, then Jacob makes a personal commitment. He had a life-changing encounter with the living God, and he made a vow. He said, the Lord will be my God, this stone will be God's house, and I will give a tenth. And I think the first one speaks to obedience. Jacob makes a personal commitment of obedience. The Lord will be my God. I will obey the Lord. Whatever he says goes. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will follow him wherever he leads. The Lord will be my God. Obedience. That's his personal commitment. It ought to be ours as well. And then openness. This stone will be God's house. Church, we could all say, I'm a living stone in God's house, and he is always welcome in me. After all, it's his house. I don't have to ask permission to come into my own house, do you? If I'm God's house, he has permission anytime to come in. He can take up residence in my heart and my mind. Any rearranging he wants to do, is okay because it's his house. You can't say, God, I like the couch right here. If God says, no, I want to move the couch over here, it's his house. Okay, and clearly I'm not talking about literal couches. I'm talking about stuff in your life and in your heart and in your mind. If God wants to do some rearranging, it's his house. And then offering. Jacob says, I will give a tenth. In other words, I will offer myself and all I have to God. And he recognizes, he even says, of all that you give me, I will give a tenth. So he recognized that it really all belonged to God in the first place. And so he says, I'll give a portion back. God can use me any way he sees fit. I offer myself to him. He can direct how I use the stuff that he has given me. My life is his. That means my mind belongs to him. My body belongs to him. My possessions belong to him. I surrender everything to him. I offer myself to God. That was Jacob's personal commitment, obedience, openness, offering. That should be our personal commitment as well. Church, we need God's presence. Are you ready for an encounter with the living God? It could happen anytime, anywhere. And ultimately, as we look at Jacob's unexpected encounter and see his response to obey, open his heart, and offer himself, we are ultimately talking about surrender. That's really what he's saying here. I surrender myself to you. Church, we need God's presence. He calls us to surrender our whole lives to him. And when we do, he promises to be with us, and he can work in us at any time. We can experience the presence of God. So will you surrender? We're going to open the altar again today. There's going to be a little music playing. And if you're at a place that you say, yeah, I surrender because I want God's presence. I want to live in the gate of heaven. And you'll surrender yourself to the Lord. Would you come and respond to this song? myself to you. Fill me with your love and power. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Church, that means that we surrender more than just our Sunday mornings. If we want to experience the presence and power of God, it can be any time, any place. And so we need to surrender it all. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And so, will you surrender? Will you simply offer yourself to God in obedience and openness to his agenda? Is it okay if God interrupts your plans? Is it okay if his visitation is not exactly as you're hoping and expecting? Will you look and listen for him in the routine? Will you accept that he wants to use the ordinary you? Will you surrender? Will you surrender your time, your talents, your treasures? Will you surrender your plans and your purpose? What about your hopes and your dreams? Will you surrender those? What about your victories and even your defeats? Will you surrender those? Will you surrender your comfort and even your pain? What about your relationships? Will you surrender those? Surrender all to him. Surrender it all. That's what God is calling. I believe God does want to reveal his presence in a powerful way right here in little ordinary Boone, Iowa. I do. He's promised it to us. We need to be ready at any moment and prepared for God to work in us. Because you know what, church? God can move in power through you. You know, I know sometimes you kind of look to Pastor Phil's going to do something and God's going to move in a powerful way. And, I hope and pray that that does happen. But God could just work right through you. And it might not be on a Sunday. It might be on a Tuesday at 3 p.m. And God just wants to do a powerful thing through you in that moment. So let's surrender ourselves to God and welcome his presence. Finally, I'll just say it. I'm not going to have a formal dismissal today. You can linger as long as you want. If you need to get going, feel free to get going. We're glad you're here. Hope that you experience God's presence more than anything. But if you'll linger for a little bit and just have a conversation with God about this issue of surrendering, I think that'll be good. Otherwise, God's blessings on you.